Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God Almighty, for bringing us on this Lord's Day, on your holy Sabbath day. We ask, Lord, that you will bless your word, anoint your word today, Lord. And I ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would open the heavens, Lord. That your Holy Spirit will descend like a dove and settle in our hearts, Lord. That you would give us the hidden treasures of heaven, the hidden manna, Lord, the Word of God. We ask, Lord, that the Word of God will penetrate to the deep, to our souls, and convict our hearts. We pray for anointing, blessing, and awaken our souls, Lord, that you, this sermon will be blessed not only to the church local here, but to the uttermost parts of the world, people who are listening on the internet. We ask, Lord, that you would go before us and loosen my tongue to utter your words, to preach you the sound doctrine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we went through the fruits of, the roots of apostasy. And so we are going through the end time series. One of the end time series, one of the things that you will see in the end times is an apostasy. And we saw the word apostasy means, the Greek word apostasia, it literally means that it's a falling away. And so in the end times, when did the end times started? Well, the end times started in the New Testament when Apostle John talks about there are antichrists during his time. But now we are living, we have 2,000 years have gone, apostasy has gone even worse. And so that's last time we saw the roots of apostasy, and we saw in the 1800s something happened. We saw with the teachings of Charles Finney, And there was a moral decline, even though he had revivals. And so much was in the flesh, the sound doctrine was the decline. And so there was a moral decline. And that gave birth to all kinds of things. And we saw the birth of dispensationalism. And the birth of Jehovah's Witnesses in the 1800s, the birth of Mormonism, the birth of Seventh-day Adventism. And then we saw the rise of Arminianism. And all these things happened in the 1800s. And you can see when you really take the pure Word of God out, the balance is you go according to your own reasons. And that's exactly what happened to Judah in the Old Testament. And if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. Jeremiah 6:10. And it says here in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised. The ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them, and they have no delight in it. That's exactly what happened in the 1800s. The word of the Lord, which was a delight before, was not a delight anymore. And because it says, behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach. The word reproach means it's a shame. This grace, and it became infamous. It's not famous anymore. It's a disgrace. It's a shame. And they have no delight in it. And also, if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 8. Jeremiah 28. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 8 says, for when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted, violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. What's the word derision means? It means making fun, mocking, laughing at the word of God. You know, And it's amazing that the Puritans, we saw that the departure of the sound doctrine, what happened is humanism came and blended with the Word of God. It gave birth to what? It gave birth, when humanism comes and blends with the Word of God, the absolutes are gone. When the absolutes are gone, then you go according to your feelings. So what happened is there was a feelings of Christianity. That's what we have in majority of the churches today, a feelings of Christianity. No absolutes. Take the absolutes off, and then you go according to your feelings. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Apostle Paul said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." You don't walk by your feelings. We walk by faith. Faith is the final authority we have, the Word of God. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And here we see how the devil came. And what did the devil do? He comes like an angel of light. We know that. The scripture says that. He masquerades. He comes as an angel of light. And the first thing what the devil do is what? He makes the Word of God make it more fun. That's what the people want. People want fun. How can we get our young people to church? Have some fun. Put some fun into the Word of God. Make it more fleshly. Fun, entertainment that brings, it really pumps up your flesh. And take out that old organ in the church and replace it with electric guitars, bass guitars, drums, and make it like hi-fi sound. Wow. Now the music with the hi-fi sound, with the mic and everything that it's going to hear, woo, this is a good feeling. Take out the old hymn books and replace it with praise songs that gives good feelings. Emotional songs. And here, you feel, when you hear the emotional songs, and this music that is so crisp and clear, loud, and so magnified, what do you see? You people say, "I feel that the Lord is here. The music is great." And it's all emotions. What happened to the old hymns that it was packed with doctrine? It's been taken away. And these hymns were sung in times of adversity, in times of terrible times, in times of martyrhood. And here they have taken those away that is packed with doctrine and put songs that pleases the flesh in worshiping the Lord. And what happened? And then you feel that, "I feel the Lord is here." Hey, it is the same thing if you go to a Roman Catholic church. You feel the incense. You see the candles burning. You see the statues. And you say, "I feel that the Lord is here." That's exactly what they are saying. So what's the difference? Can you worship the Lord in a remote area, where the church is made of a mud hut and coconut leaves and without any of those electrical sound, you don't feel the Lord? That's what happened to the church when the devil came and put more fun into the Word of God. Put entertainment. Then, take out the good old gospel preaching. Add humor, jokes, candy coat the Word of God. That's what the devil did. And this is exactly making Bible more pleasable to the flesh. Do not rebuke the people of sin. Do not correct them, because they might get offended. You might hurt their feelings. Everything is centered on feelings. Feelings. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting from verse 2. And he says here, Apostle Paul said, let's start from verse 1. I charge therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. Preach the word. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, Paul is telling Timothy to preach the word. What do you mean by preaching? What do you mean by preaching the word? Preaching the word is not reading a sermon. Preaching the word has the word proclamation. It's proclaiming the word of God. It's preaching the word has the meaning of a herald. Herald, what was the job of a herald? The job of a herald was, he was an officer whose business was to denounce or proclaim war. And he proclaimed, and also to challenge to battle, proclaim peace and bear messages. That means he's proclaiming the word of God loud and clear. Pastor is a herald. He is supposed to preach the word. That is the divine word of God. Noah was called a preacher in the Old Testament. What did Noah say? God will destroy the world, turn away, God will destroy the world, turn away from sin. Jonah was sent to Nineveh to preach. And Jonah said, in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. And Jesus talked about Jonah being a preacher in Matthew 12:41. And also, John the Baptist. He was a preacher. He came and preached, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And Peter, when Peter preached the day of Pentecost, people were cut to the heart. So preaching the word of God brings what? Conviction of sin, correction, and encouragement. That is the word preaching means. And it's amazing that says here in the word of God, preach the word in season and out of season, convince, rebuke. So preaching, that in the preaching there is rebuke included, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What do you mean by doctrine? Doctrine means teaching, the word of God. That is teaching. That is doctrine. And it says here, but according to their own desires, they have itching ears. What do you mean by itching ears? Itching, the word itching ears means tickling ears. You tickle your ears, you laugh. Yeah. Try to tickle your ears, you will laugh. Exactly, that's exactly what it is. And people want, today, most churches, majority of churches, they're more like sitcom comedies. Jokes. pastor comes with a pack of jokes, humor. He wants to people make them laugh. And most of the churches, the pastors, they want to cater to their feelings, cater to the flesh. And they want to give tasty food, make the Word of God tasty for them. Make it sugar-coated, candy-coated. It's a fancy gospel. And make it sensational instead of sober or a double-edged sword. And also, it says that, verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Exactly. That's what the Word of God. That's exactly what happened in the 1800s. The truth. The true Word of God. The sober Word of God. The true gospel. The double-edged sword that convicts and repents. And cut to the heart. They don't want to see. They don't want to give that kind of gospel. So it says that, turn aside to fables. What are fables? Fables. Just a myth. A story. It becomes just a fiction. Bible is just a fiction. A fable. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 5 31. And the Lord's word says in 5:31. Starting from 5:30, an astonishing and a horrible thing has committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 32. Ezekiel 33:32 says, indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. Here we see again how people want sensations. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, it says that they make the gospel, the Word of God, into a fiction, into a story. Modern church wants to attract crowd. So how do they do? They want to attract people. How do? They make the Word of God into a fiction. They have a concert, a play, a movie. Bring entertainment into the church. Pastor wants to put jokes, humor into the Word of God. Let the people laugh. Bring amusement to the church. And C.H. Spurgeon, who lived in the 1800s, of course, is one of the greatest preachers after the apostles. And he said, this is what he said. And the heading is called Feeding Sheep or Amusing Goats. Feeding Sheep or Amusing Goats. During Spurgeon's time, this was just beginning. And it was just beginning. And this is what he said when he saw this, the beginnings. An evil is in the professed camp of the Lord, so gross in its impudence that the most short-sighted can hardly fail to notice it during the past few years. He said, even the most short-sighted cannot miss it. But today, how many people cannot see it? Then he says, it has developed at an abnormal rate during his time. What about today? Nobody is talking against these preachers. Even for evil, it has worked like leaven unto the whole lump of ferments. The devil has seldom done a cleverer thing than hinting to the church that part of their mission is to provide what? Entertainment for the people with view to winning them. Have entertainment for soul winning. Then Spurgeon goes on to say, from speaking out as the Puritans did, the church has gradually torn down her testimony, then winked at an excuse. The frivolities of that day, then she tolerated them in her borders. Now she has adopted them under the plea of reaching the masses. My first contention is that providing amusement for the people is nowhere spoken in the scriptures as a function of the church. If it is Christian work, why did not Christ speak of it? He goes on to say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is clear enough. So it would have been if he added, and provide amusement for those who do not relish the gospel. Christ did not say that. No such words were found in the scriptures. Then again he said, Spurgeon went on, in quoting Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 to 12, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry. Where do the entertainers come in? The Holy Spirit is silent concerning them. Were the prophets persecuted because they amused the people? Or because they refused? The concert has no martyr's role. And he goes on to say again, providing amusement is in direct antagonism to the teaching and life of Christ and all his apostles. What was the attitude of the church, the world? You are the salt, not the sugar candy. We are called the salt of the world, not the sugar candy of the world. Something the world will spit out and not swallow. Short and sharp was the utterance. Let the dead bury their dead. He was in an awful earnestness. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. Some quotations. Jesus pitied sinners, but he didn't amuse them to come to him. In vain the epistles be searched to find out any trace of the gospel of amusement. Their message is come out and keep out, keep clean out. And goes on to say, lastly, the mission of amusements falls to the effect and end desired. It works havoc among young converts, among young people. Let the careless and scoffers who thank God because the church met them halfway speak and testify. Let the heavy laden who found peace through the concert not keep silent. Let the drunkard to whom the dramatic entertainment has been God's link to the chain of the conversion stand up. There were none to answer. The mission of amusement produced no converts. And exactly this is what happened because people want feelings. I want to feel. Feelings means I feel better. I want to feel better. I want to feel good. I want to feel comfortable. I want to feel nice. I want to feel great. That's what they want in the churches. And we don't want doctrine anymore. We don't want theology anymore. Give me the short time religion. We want the Holy Ghost service. We want the feeling in the spirit. You know, and so what do? They, at the worship, they pump the people already with all these musical instruments and so forth. They pump them up. And they will shout and clap and cheer. Then the pastor comes and he has already, stage is being set for him. To be have more entertainment, more feelings. Make them laugh, cry, make them emotional. They make them have a high feeling. That's what's happening in the churches today. Have a Holy Ghost feeling, Holy Spirit feeling. Turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 7. John chapter 14 verse 7, we'll see what the Holy Spirit does. John chapter 14 verse 7 says, And Jesus said, 14 verse 17, John chapter 14, 17. The Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive. Ha ha! There you go. The world, the church has become the world. The church has converted into the world. In the church, there are worldly people coming because they want to be high in their flesh. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. That's exactly what happened. Because the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, come to rebuke and to convict the sinners. And the world doesn't like that. What do they like? They like a candy-coated gospel. They like amusement, entertainment. Jesus went on to say, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it is neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. The true Christians, oh, how we love conviction. Man, when the Bible convicts our hearts, we say, God, I thank you. I really needed that. Because, you know, we don't know ourselves. Our heart is deceitful above all things. That means we ourselves have been deceived unless the Word of God comes and convicts us and shows us that we have been deceived. And how we thank God for that. Lord, show me if there is anything that is in my heart that is not right. Then also, John chapter 14, verse 26 says, John 14, 26, let's see verse 19, if you are of the world will love its own. Verse 19, that is John chapter 15, verse 19. John 15:19 says, if you are of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. You preach the good gospel, the world will hate you. Unless one of the chosen ones, elected ones, comes and receives and hears, and they will praise God for the saving grace. And also John 14 verse 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. Who says that we don't need doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. It is the Holy Spirit that is going to teach. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Holy Spirit is not going to come and teach you new things. But emotional is not going to come and teach you your feelings to go high or emotions. No. It says that He will teach you all things. What are the all things? To bring it to your remembrance that I have spoke to you. What Jesus has spoke to you. That means what the Word of God already has said. Not anything new. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. All these people have been deceived, saying it's a Holy Ghost revival. We don't want doctrine. They have been deceived to the grave, to hell, by the devil. And some of these pastors who are so, I can wait for the next sermon. Make them laugh, cry, make them emotional, high in their feelings. And you know what? Not only the church, because of this, it influenced the church, but also the society, the culture. Our forefathers, the Puritans, their doctrine was Calvinistic, and we saw that last time. They laid a biblical foundation, a godly foundation to this nation. And we saw even the society was influenced by the Calvinistic doctrine. And but today, the society is by, also again is influenced by this kind of corrupted church services. Because the absolutes are God. Feelings have become the center of religion, of Christianity. Michelangelo was a painter, and he was a very good painter. He lived during the time of the Renaissance period, 1475 to 1565. And even if you think about Michelangelo and his paintings during that time, because that was a time where people believed in absolutes. I told last time why God used the Greek language, because the Greek language is built on absolutes. And Michelangelo's painting, if you look at his painting, and it's a real thing. He paints a man, it's a real man. Looks like a man. And he painted like David and Goliath, and his paintings look real. It's logical. It's true. It looks like exactly what he wanted to paint. So it's logical, it's true, it was based on absolutes. But today you take a painting, you cannot figure out, what is this? And people spend hundreds and thousands of dollars and they get a painting and say, look at this, this is great. What? I can't figure this out. I don't know what's this. It's like a monkey that got hold of a paint can. It's like kindergarten kids can do that. But people pay big money because they say, oh, you got to see it from your third eye. Some people have a spiritual third eye. I forgot the name of the Beatle who's John, that person who, John Lennon, who married to a Japanese woman. She brought this painting, and even he couldn't understand what it is. He said, if you don't understand, you're a fool. That's the way the world has become. And, you know, a man gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning. When everybody is sleeping, he goes into a public place and he makes a drawing. And we call it graffiti. Now, when you look at graffiti, we don't see it. What does it mean? It means nothing for us. But he does. He understands what it means. Because he's pouring out his feeling. His feeling is that he is angry at his girlfriend. He's angry at his parents. He has anger against God. He's angry against the authorities. And he's pouring out his feelings. He understands. That's exactly what has happened even to the culture today. You know, you go to a traffic light, you're stuck in the traffic light, the car next comes and all what you hear is boom, 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 boom. Right? You know, sound, loud noise coming from the next car is boom, boom, boom. The guy is pouring out his feelings. He likes their feelings. Everything is centered on feelings. I was listening to a debate. I don't want to say the names. Calvinist versus an Arminian. It's amazing. If you listen to the Armenian guy, all he brings out is feelings and emotions. They cannot bring scriptures, because scripture is based on faith. That's what the Calvinists always win the debates, because it's a scriptural thing. You scriptures, you cannot twist the scriptures. Whatever the scriptures say, you gotta believe it. When God's word says, what? In Romans chapter 9, God hated Esau and he loved Jacob. How can he twist that? Do you take the word of God? And today, if you go to a modern church, Everything is, even the church structure and everything, even their services, is built on feelings. They have the young adults Bible studies, women's Bible studies, men's Bible studies, ex-alcoholics Bible studies, married couples Bible studies. Why do you have, can you divide the Word of God? Why do you have like this? And they might say, because we can relate to one another, and we can relate to one another in our feelings. Everything is centered on feelings. No wonder we have the promise keepers, seek a sensitive moment, ecumenism. Do you know that the 92% of the Americans, they believe in God? 92% of the Americans believe in God. This is the most shocking thing. If 92% of the Americans believe in God, they also, 34% believes in ghosts. And 29% believe in astrology. You can see the corrupt church here. Majority of the so-called born-again Christians, they read the Bible only twice, once or twice a week. And they are called born-again Christians. It's amazing. Feelings. Feelings has to do with what? Outward beauty, attractiveness. And it's the beautiful sound. But the soul is rotten inside. The churches may look very beautiful. Wow, the lights, the carpets, the chandeliers look so glittering, so beautiful. But is it rotten inside? And we need to bring back the Word of God into the pulpit, amen? And Jesus also said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to raise his head. Where's the feeling for that? Where's the feeling? Jesus did not come according to do things according to his feelings, but he came to do the will of the Lord. You know, the Word of God is always opposed to our flesh. It's opposed to our flesh. It's opposed to our feelings. The Word of God is opposed to our feelings. It's opposite. Spurgeon said, let me give you a quote by Spurgeon. He said, avoid a sugared gospel as you would shun sugar of lead. What he's saying is, avoid the sugar gospel as you would avoid a sugar of lead, as if there is lead in the sugar. You're not going to take that. You will die. Seek the gospel which rips up and tears and cuts the wounds and hacks, even kills. For that is the gospel that makes alive again. And when you have found it, give good heed to it. Let it enter into your innermost being. As the rain soaks into the ground, so pray to the Lord to let his gospel soak into your soul. And if you remember how Eve was deceived of the forbidden fruit. But the forbidden fruit was very pleasant to the eyes. As for the feeling, it looked so good. It looked so desirable. It pleasant to the eyes. That's exactly what the Satan wants to do. Make it so pleasable to the people. Make it so pleasant to the eyes. So desirable to the flesh, so people will come. And Satan is working hard with false ministers and the pastors and evangelists, with deceptive, seductive, sugar-coated, entertaining gospel. And what happens? What's the result? It leads people, it leads souls to hell. It's to kiss and to kill. Leads people to the lake of fire. It's a profane fire. Remember, in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, Leviticus 10, 1, you cannot add a fire on your own. Here today, the pastors are trying to add a fire from the pulpit on their own. It's not the fire that comes from the Holy Spirit. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 says, Leviticus 10, 1, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered a profane fire before its kind, the cricket of its kind, and the profane fire before its kind to the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You cannot have an earthly fire. It's not the fire that is always burning. They had an earthly fire. Usually, it's the fire that came from heaven that consumed. But here, they made a fire on their own. That is called a profane fire. And here, what you see today, pastors are making their own fire from the pulpit. That means they're putting things onto the Word of God, adding things onto the Word of God, making it more humorous, jokes and candy coated, sugar coated, so people will be entertained. That is corruption. You know what? At the end, people are going to experience their feelings when they die in hell, in the lake of fire. And I wonder how you feel when Jesus said there'll be gnashing of teeth. People will be tormented and roasted. How many people who are going to church, churchgoers, will end up in hell because they went according to their feelings? You know what? The greatest feeling you can ever have is the feeling that my Lord, my Savior, who left heaven and came to this earth for me, and who took up, he became a man and he took the cross. He wore the crown of thorns and he bled and died for me. He took the punishment that should come to me. I should have got that punishment, the wrath of God. But he took it. And he is the Son of God. He is the Holy Son of God. He left his heaven, the throne room, and came down to this earth for a mission. And that was his mission. Why did he do that? Because he saved me from the wrath that was going to come. And now he showed how he loved me, cared for me. Before the foundation of the world, he had chosen me that I did not know. But in this time of period, I got to know that, because once when we were awakened by the Word of God, when we were regenerated, we realized that. And God, even before I was born, he had chosen me. I didn't know that until I was saved. He took the punishment. And he gave me his righteousness that I didn't deserve. And he rose from the dead. He's alive. And I can talk to him. And now we can talk to him. We can love him from the bottom of our heart. We have a communication, a relationship. That is the real feeling. The real feeling is centered on the Word of God. That's the real feeling. That Jesus said now, what? We can love the Lord. Loving has to do with emotions, feelings, from the heart. That's the real feeling. We can love the Lord with all our mind. With all our mind has to do with intellect. With the study of the Word of God, with all our mind, with all our strength, with the hands, all what God has given us the strength to go and preach the gospel, to proclaim the Word of God, to do the works of God, you need strength with all our strength, with all our soul. Oh, that's everything what we have. That is the true feeling that is centered on the Word of God. That's the true feeling. not, we cannot add, manipulate, put anything into this word of God on our own. That's corruption. God hates that. Idolatry in the heart. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord. For this sermon, we pray and ask, Lord God Almighty, for those who are listening over here and also those who are listening in the internet. And if you are going to a church that is centered on feelings and emotions and without the sound doctrine, get out from that church. Run. Find the closest exit and run. Flee as you are fleeing a fire that is coming behind you. Because that kind of church will seduce you, will deceive you, and eventually will take you into the lake of fire. Oh Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you will bring repentance and that you will convict the hearts of the churchgoers as they sit in very comfortable pews, and that you will bring conviction to their hearts and true godly repentance, and that they will turn from apostasy, from their falling away, as you, they will turn from their evil ways, from their wicked ways, and turn to the true word of God. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would open your word into their hearts and bring sound doctrine into their hearts, Lord. It's the word of God that can change the heart, can give a heart of flesh, and that can change our attitudes, our behavior, and can bring glory to God. Oh Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you be exalted, glorified, and magnified. We pray for souls to be saved, Lord. And pray and ask, Lord, that you will bring a great harvest. Even in these last days, as there is so much darkness in the pulpits, darkness in the seminaries, darkness in the churches, still there is a bright light shining for the glory of God. That is the true church of God. We ask, Lord, that you will bless this sermon for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.